Come on, somebody, give a shout for Jesus in the place today. He's worthy. What a line in that song. Let's sing it again. You have no rival.
You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign.
Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the glory.
Yours is the glory.
Yours is the name.
Yours is the name above all names.
You have no rival.
You have no rival.
No one.
You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign.
Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the glory.
Yours is the glory.
You're the name.
Yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name.
What a
the name of Jesus.
Name it is the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus is above every name that is named. The scripture says not only in heaven, nor in the earth, but even under the earth. That means there's no room for the devil. God's put him out of business and Jesus is Lord. Give God some praise today.
Hallelujah.
For the Lord is about to move this house into another place in the spirit, says God. And I'm going to begin to lift this house and give you eyes like eagles that you would survey the land in a new way. And you will see the good, the evil, the right, the wrong, and all the things that I see, says the Lord. But does it not say in my word that my eyes run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil? And you will see these things and you will know which places, which pockets, which venues, which avenues to go into where people are trapped and people are held in bondage. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and you shall go in and unlock the cells of those that have been struggling, says the Lord, and you will bring them out of bondage. You will bring them out of mental bondage. You will bring them out of physical bondage. You will bring them out of spiritual bondage. You will bring them out of psychological bondage. You will bring them out of drug situations. You will bring them out of battering situations. You will bring them out of molestational situations. You will bring out those that have been held captive by the enemy, says the Lord. For I've given you the keys, and I've given you carte blanche, says God. Open up the doors, for I've told you to go in now and bring my sheep to me, says God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise today. Amen. Well, I guess you may be seated. I'm not used to asking as a guest telling people to sit down in their own church, but anyway. Good morning, good morning. God is good today. You can feel the presence of God all over these grounds, and you can feel it pulling up into the parking lot. You can feel it in this worship atmosphere that we have here today. And it is a privilege to be with you. My name is Eric Butler. If you did not have a chance to be with us this weekend, and it's a privilege to be back here with the pastor, David Canastraci, his lovely wife. And we're just here today to share the word with you today. And I believe that God has, I mean, sometimes I don't want to preach because he shows you big, big things. He shows you big things for a house. I'll just tell you the picture that I saw when we were worshiping. And by the way, can you give that worship team a hand? They got you there. They took you into to the heavenlies. Amen. But I saw a picture of a giant eagle that was resting over this place, and it was all good. It was all good. And it picked this building up and just lifted it up in its claws and just lifted the building up. And I felt like God was saying, this is a season where you're going to come into a season of elevation. Elevation. that everything's going to go to a wonderful, another level that's good. Amen. Now, let me explain that to you, because a lot of times we speak prophetically and it seems symbolic or it seems real spiritual. But God's saying this because he wants you to understand that it's coming to you personally. Amen. That's the key. Personally. Just look at someone to the left or the right of you and say, God's about to lift you up. Yeah, he's about to lift you up. That's what it's about. You see, prophecy is with a purpose. Let me just give you a title, I guess, for CD's sake or MP3's sake nowadays or whatever it might be. I don't know. Just tell someone your future is waiting. Amen. Your future is waiting for you. But prophecy is with a purpose. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24, the scripture says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth." Verse 26 and 27. "This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed," okay, "and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" Okay? No one, we just said that here, no one can stop God. But isn't it funny how sometimes we think that our situations that we go through are impossible for God to deal with? It's a funny thing that we shrink back into small thinking and we shrink back into mindsets that just simply say, "God, I don't think you could get me through this one or out of this one or past this one." But God says, when I purpose something, it will stand. It will stand. You know, it's funny because I get a chance to preach out a lot of times and over the years, you know, preaching all over the nations and different things. But I remember being a new believer and just maybe 1 year saved, 2 years saved, and praying, you know, the old prayers where you pray in a circle and everybody's praying in the spirit and, you know, somebody might get a bubble up or speaking in tongues. But I had a vision one time and I saw myself preaching in foreign countries, and this was many, many years ago, and I said, "Wow, that's heavy." But from the place where I was physically standing that night outside of a church on a street praying with two people to seeing where I was, it was a big stretch. But God was showing me that he had purposed something, that God had designated me for an assignment, and that when he designates you and I for an assignment and he purposes something in our lives, he says, "Listen, I'm the one that's going to get it done." Let me just go a little further. You see, I want you to understand this morning that you are under divine assignment. You're under divine assignment. And God does everything with a purpose. Okay? Number one, and these are just thoughts, okay, about your divine assignment. Your assignment is proof that God has planned for you to succeed in something. I'll say it as slowly as I can. Your assignment is proof that God has planned for you to succeed in something. He doesn't waste words. He doesn't give assignments without the power to fulfill them. You're not created to go to one failure to the next, but God created you to be a success in him. To be an overcomer and to be victorious, to be a winner. You were born for success. Number two, your assignment is proof, I like this one, that God has preserved you in order to preserve his purpose in you. Your assignment is proof that God has preserved you in order to preserve his purpose in you. What are you talking about? That's why God kept you alive. I don't know about you, but I've had some experiences in my life over the years, even from childhood. At 5 years old, I almost drowned. And I'm from the East Coast, so we have rivers that are different. The Delaware River, which is by Philadelphia, runs through Philadelphia, New Jersey. And I was playing with my brothers one day, just playing around. I was too little. I shouldn't have been there because I was the little brother. I got three older brothers. And I shouldn't have been there. You know, the big brothers always say, boy, you should go back home. You're too little to be here. No, but I want to be with you, you know. And so I was with these guys. And they said, well, just stand over there. Well, what did I do? I didn't just stand over there. There were beams that went down into the water from the bridge. And they were climbing on the beams and kind of doing the Tarzan thing, going from beam to beam. And I saw them doing it. I said, well, I can do that too. I'm big enough. But the peat moss on the beams was slippery. And I slipped right into the river at five. Didn't know how to swim. And I went under. And I call him my middle brother because I got an older brother and then brother 2 years older than me. But the middle one, I had gone down. And they said, where is he? You could hear him. All they saw was my hat floating on the water. And then he reached down and something pushed me back up. I don't know what it was. I guess it was just buoying. And it pushed me back up. And my hand came up and I felt his hand. He pulled me out. It was one time. I got bit by dogs when I was 12 years old. And three dogs, actually, in this leg. They were mongrels. These kind of dogs with no name. They were just hungry. And I was a paper boy, and I was delivering papers at 12 years old. And Sunday morning, I was delivering Sunday morning papers and almost finished the route, had a shopping cart, throwing the papers up on the porch. And as I put the final paper up, boom, I just felt something like grip my leg. And this big German Shepherd type dog ripped a hole out of my leg, probably about that big. And I had to go to the hospital. And they were afraid I had rabies and this and that. Well, the guys, they killed the dogs. When I was nine, I fell in the playground, an asphalt playground, playing kickball in the playground. Fell and bumped my head and had a vicious concussion. Went to the hospital. They said, if he goes to sleep, he's going to die. Three times I've had guns pointed at me in different situations as I got older when I was a bad guy. But anyway, let me go on with the message. Well, I didn't grow up saved, so I'm sorry. God bless America, you know. I didn't grow up in church. Okay, amen. But anyway, I did have that a couple of times. And I'm thinking about that because I'm thinking about a scripture like this. My assignment was proof that God has preserved me in order to preserve his purpose in me. So no matter what I went through, God kept keeping me to preserve the assignment that was in me. And that's why he keeps you, he keeps our children, he keeps our grandchildren, because each of them come with an assignment. There's an assignment attached to each of us before we even come into the earth. As it says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, before you were in your mother's womb, before you were even formed in formulation, in substance, I knew you. God knows you and I better than we think he knows us. He's great, man. I mean, I'll talk basic. God is a bad dude. He's a bad dude, man. That means good in urban language. Amen. Okay. So he's keeping you alive to fulfill the purpose. That's why it's never over until it's over. That's why you're here today. Number three, I'll give you one more. If God could have found a replacement for your assignment, he would have never given it to you. Now, what does that mean? Remember when Elijah said he started crying and whining in the cave and he was saying, oh God, I'm the only one left. Everybody else has forsaken you. And he was in that cave and he was crying in 1 Kings 19. And God says, no. I got 7,000 more, Elijah, that have not bowed their knee to Baal. See, God can pick whoever he wants. He's got the pick of the litter, so to speak. He can choose anyone he chooses to do anything on the planet when he wants to do it at any time. But I want to encourage you today, he's chosen you. He's chosen you for a particular assignment. Life becomes easier. People ask me all the time, they said, how do you do all the stuff you do? How do you flow like you flow? I think that I found my assignment. Once you find your assignment and you step into it, and it becomes you. It's not an assignment anymore. It becomes you. And once you find that, life's a whole lot easier. Many people in the world, in society, in the body of Christ, are still looking for who they are or the assignment, and they don't know how to get there. But if God could have found someone else to do it, he would have never kept you. See, that requalifies everybody. Because a lot of times people want to give up. They say, well, I'm too old. I can't do this. I'm this. Or I grew up this way or that way. God says, no. If I wanted somebody else to do it, I would have gotten them to do it. But I chose you to do it. I chose you to do it. That's heavy stuff, man. So why am I saying that? Because your future is waiting for you. Your future is waiting for you, okay? And there's a lot of things that hinder us from going into the future. There's fear, and I can give you a lot of scriptures for that. Fear has torment. 1 John 4:18, it says, fear has torment. There's shame that hinders us. Psalm 44:15 says, my dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me. Jealousy. Song of Solomon 8:6 says, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. It's as cruel as the grave. Insecurity is another one. People are very insecure. Anger. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Rejection. I've been rejected. Isaiah 53:3 says, he's despised and he was rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, stricken and smitten of God. He was rejected. Jesus was rejected. Neglect. Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? They may forget, yet I will not forget. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands, God says. So there's things that hinder us from going forward into our future, embracing our assignment. All these things become blocks and hindrances so we can't get to where we need to get to. Revelation 4 says something, and they were singing this today. I love this atmosphere you guys create because you're prophesying the whole time that you're singing. It's amazing. Revelation 4, 1 says, after these things, after all that, after everything that I could think of that would be negative to hold me back from getting to my assignment or to getting to my future, he says, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here. I'll show you things which must take place after. Okay? So God says, listen, he just has to get us to the elevator and get us to another height and another vantage point so we can actually see what he sees, and then we'll see life differently. I can tell you a story. When I first was saved, I thought that I was cursed because everything went wrong for me. Everything went wrong when I first got saved. Now, I'm a 22-year-old college student when I got saved. It was in my last semester. I accepted Jesus at college. Didn't know anything about church. Wasn't a churchgoer. My Sunday was spent with the NFL. That's the truth. You know, I don't know how far back you go, but they used to have this thing where the flashing of the teams would come, and I knew it was NFL Sunday. Irv Cross and Brookshire. I'm going way back now. Okay? That was Sunday. Sunday was eating the best breakfast you're going to eat during the week. Those fried potatoes or hash browns, as they call them, or home fries now. They changed the name. That bacon used to sizzle and wake you up in the morning and say, come here, you belong to me. That was Sunday morning, okay? And I remember that, but I got saved. I didn't know anything about Jesus, but I read the word. I kept staying in the word, but I thought I was cursed because money was it seemed like it would always go away from me. And I would watch everyone get blessed, and you know how baby Christians always get their prayers answered quick. Except me. And I was wondering, like, what's the deal, God? Like, you know, what happened to me? I mean, such and such. And back in the day, you'd have a lot of testimonies in church, a lot of testifying. And they would come up, oh, the Lord bless me. Praise God. And it was a financial blessing. Most of the time, it was money. Oh, the Lord bless me. And I would sit there, and I was in the choir. I was cleaning the church. I was cleaning the bathrooms. I was going to buy wood on the weekends. Home Depot didn't exist then, but going to the lumber place, buying wood. Everything, doing whatever they asked me to do, and no blessing. And I remember I was so broke. Never forget this. I was so broke. My brother says I was so poor I couldn't pay attention. But anyway, let me go. But I was so, it was nothing. It was a Wednesday night service, and I was mad. I started to become angry with God. I said, what's the deal? You said that prosperity is supposed to be ours. I had $1.25 on the dresser, 5 quarters. That was all I had to my name. I couldn't even get a job. God held me back from getting a job for a year and 10 months after I graduated. shut me totally down. I did not understand it. I mean, everybody, knucklehead guys were getting jobs. Guys that couldn't read were getting jobs. I'm like, I went to school, I studied, I should have some more than this. I looked at that money, and he said this to me. He said, you give me 10% of what's the one of that dollar and 25 cents. He said, I promise you, you'll never be broke again. I'm looking at these quarters. Okay. I said, well, that would, I start calculating. Well, you know, 10% would be like 12 cents. I said, I might as well just throw in a quarter and just you know, go for it. So I said, I might as well throw in a quarter just to go for it. And I went to church that night. I came back to my little apartment, which was really pretty raggedy, to say the least. I wasn't married. And I remember that I stayed up all night reading the Bible from cover to cover about the blessing of the Lord. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I heard a voice say to me, you are not cursed. There's no curse on you. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that a lot of times the enemy will use different things to deceive you, to paint a picture that God is not with you, that God's the bad guy, that God's holding you back, that God doesn't want you to do this, have this, be this, become this, or try this. And he'll do that and mess you up here. Let me just go a little further because I'm in a storyteller's mode. Because this is all in one season. I was in church and a prophet came to our church. I've never seen her again, never heard her name again. All I remember her name was Ronnie Carroll. I don't know if any of you guys ever heard of this lady. But she came to our church and it was a big hoopla, prophets coming. And back then when a prophet came, my God, it was like Jesus came through the door. And she came, he sure did. And so she came and she was prophesying in the morning service. She said, I'll be back tonight and give all these wonderful words. And everybody was getting ministered to. She was you and you and you and you and you and you all night. It got so bad that I went outside and took a break. And the guy was out in front of the church smoking a cigarette. And I just looked at him. I said, man, he said, why'd you come out here? I said, nothing in there for me, you know, because she was passing people by. This is a true story. Well, she kept going. The night was over, and I saw her. You know, when prophets get ready to wind up, they start coming to the edge of the platform. And she started walking down. I felt like every time she took a step, I could feel the earth move. And I'm sitting in the second row. I wore a red shirt so I would be noticed. I said, it was burnt orange, in fact. I said, and she still didn't pick me. I'm singing in the worship team. I'm singing in the choir. I know I can flow. I'm faithful. I'm teaching new believers. You going to pass by me? My mindset. She starts walking just like this. I can walk down here with this. She starts walking like this. And she had a little intercessor with her. A little lady who was an intercessor. And they walked by. He could feel the presence of God on them. I'm sitting there probably about right here. And she walks like this and goes by. And when she got to here, I started crying. I said, God, you don't care about me. I said, everybody in this, I mean, they people were in euphoria. I got a word, this and that. And I'm just sitting there, no word. My eyes got real water. I'll never forget this. And I said, well, I guess that's it. And I'm thinking, I said, that's it then. You know, prophet came, they spoke to everybody. I guess there's nothing for me to do. I guess I'll just keep cleaning up the church, clean the toilets, be faithful, remain faithful. That which is least, I'll do what little bit God has for me. She takes 2 more steps, maybe 2 aisles down. And it's a crowd starting to get around her. But she backs up. I'm facing this way, holding back the tears. I said, I can't let anybody see me crying over this stuff. You know, I'm a grown man crying. A little sissy. You know, she backs up and points to me. She said, you thought the Lord forgot you, but I will never forget you. And the day will come, says the Lord, I will place you in a high place and I will put you in a place that will astound people in the nations. And they will say to you, how did you get there? And you will say, the Lord put me here. I was finished. You know what I did? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Why am I saying that? Because the assignment is proof that he's not giving up on you. Now, I know I'm taking a little longer with this deal because I got a whole lot more here. But my point is simply this. That's real. That's real right there. I remember trying to get a job, and I went to 70 interviews. Nobody would hire me. I worked for HBO. I used to work for Time Magazine after that. I worked for HBO, Time Magazine. I worked in New York for a while, all over the city, the whole bit. Had good jobs later. But God kept me in this room for a year and 10 months. And he kept me in the room to teach me how to pray. He kept me in this room. And I would have to, it was a 7-Eleven directly across the street from me. And every day I would just go get a big gulp. Go get a big gulp and get the newspaper. And I would sit there. And God says, go back upstairs to the room. And I'd go into prayer again. I taught myself how to pray for an hour. I taught myself how to pray for 2 hours. And sometimes I would get so blasted in the Holy Ghost, it felt like I would come out of my body. I couldn't tell anybody this because nobody would believe it. I remember one time I prayed so hard, I did come out of my body. I saw my body down there crouched in a prayer posture on my knees, and I got scared. I was like hovering above it. I said, no. And I came back inside of it. I started to see things in the spirit. I remember watching seeing a vision of my wife's grandfather. And it was a funeral. And I said, what is this? Because I would go in so deep. I was just like, I was there and it was real. And I would just look. It was a funeral. And the Lord said, he's going to die in August. He said, but don't tell her right now. I came back out of the vision. She came back. This is after I got married. She came back. And I said, well, I'll tell you another time. And I waited for the right time. I said, this is a true story. Watch this. I said, we need to go see your grandfather eventually. She said, why? I said, we just need to go see him. And I remember somebody called her. They said, you need to come down. She lived in Atlantic City. He said, come to Atlantic City. Your grandfather just went into the hospital. And it was August. And when the call came, I said, okay, here it is. We went, and I knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. And we got there, and we got in the emergency room, and there was a male nurse there. And he said, I'm glad you guys came today. He said, you see this guy? He said, he left us on Tuesday, but we brought him back. We got there on Saturday. He had died on Tuesday, but they revived him. And he said, I'm a Christian. And he said, somebody needs to talk to him about God. I got there on Saturday. Pop woke up, and I said, Pop, we're not here to pray for you to get healed. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, I'm a deacon in a Presbyterian church for 40 years. I said, do you know Jesus as your Savior? He started crying. He said, no, he's 80 years old. He said, no, I don't know him. I said, receive Jesus right now. We prayed the sinner's prayer. He prayed. 2 weeks after that, it was the end of August, he died. Stuff like that used to happen to me. What am I talking about? When the assignment is on your life, it's deep. This spiritual realm is crazy. I didn't mean to preach like this, but we're somewhere here. You know, I could tell you story after story after story of when he had me in that holding pattern to develop me. And that's where people say, well, how did you learn how to prophesy? In that year and 10 months, he trained me sovereignly how to see in the spirit, how to hear his voice, how to shut down the voice of the devil, how to shut down my voice, and to hear his voice crystal clear, because he had to do that. I thought he was keeping me with lack and with poverty, but he was blessing me and making me rich. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? And so, oh my gosh. I like preaching here. It's fast. I love it. You know, I get all excited. He has to bring you to the elevator. He says, come up here so I can show you things that are come. There's another level. That's why I saw that bird picking this house up. He's going to show you so much more. The danger of knowing stuff is you think you've arrived, but in the spirit realm, it's infinite. Knowledge and revelation never ends. The insight of God never ends. There's things in your children today. There's things in your loved ones. There's callings and giftings in them that you can't even see right now. That it will blow your mind if God was to pull the curtain back and say, this is what I called this one for. And this is what I have this one for. And that's what I called your husband for. And that's what I called your wife to do. It's astounding how great he really is. You see, God wants to bring us from mediocrity to excellence, from shame to dignity, from grief to greatness, and from the past into a prosperous future. He wants to bring you somewhere. What is the future? It's a time that is or to come hereafter. What is it? It's something that will exist or happen in time to come. It's a condition, especially of success or failure, to come. I already quoted this, but I'll quote it again. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace." Hey, thoughts of peace. To give you hope and an expectation. God says, I'm thinking for your good. I'm on your side. I love you. I'm with you. I'm going to cause this thing to take place. And what you think could not happen, he says, when I finish working on you, it's all going to take place. Give God some praise real quick. Man, I'm telling you. I just want to give you the gist of this. I'm not going to be able to end it, but it's exciting to know. God says, I don't think thoughts of evil towards you. The devil has lied to people. He's caused people to think, God hates me. God's mad at me. I've sinned. God, I can't. How can I get up from this? He said, no. I think thoughts of peace towards you, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, man. To give you a future and a hope. So the future consists of these things. Taking notes. Dreams. Hopes. It's challenges. I'll say them again. Dreams, hopes, challenges. Even obstacles and victories are all up ahead. You see? John 16:13 says it this way. Jesus said it, that you'll have help for your future. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. We're the only people on the planet that can know what tomorrow's going to bring before it ever shows up. God promised us that. That's the advantage that we have over the enemy. Amen. Okay, this is the little crux piece here. I give it the rest of it. I'll start in the middle next time and finish the end. But sometimes, and this is where I was, because I see people, there's times I wish I did grow up in a church, and I hear people's testimonies. They have legacy with them. They had a father that was a preacher or a grandfather that was a preacher. And after I started to understand the Bible, I saw that God was a God of generations. And that there's something called a generational blessing. One of the reasons why in this age and day we live, that there's an orphan spirit running loose is because many people have not had the privilege of partaking in a transgenerational blessing. So they don't understand what it is for a father to hand down something to a son. They don't know what it is for someone to live their life and prepare a better life for them. They don't have a clue. Do you realize that 70% of African Americans in this country live fatherless? 70% of all the children born. That's an astounding, staggering statistic. So they don't understand that there's a generational blessing. I've got three older brothers that are older than me. And my oldest brother just got saved 2 years ago when I was preaching. He had never seen me preach in Baltimore, Maryland. And he came. You know Bart Pierce? Yeah. I preached to Bart's. He lives in Maryland, and I was there, and I said, man, just come to the meetings. He's running from God his whole life, and he came, and I was doing a leadership thing on a Saturday morning. He came, sat in the second row, and God showed up, started prophesying, ministering to people, and you know how God is. God's brilliant. I was walking up to people, and I was just leaning like this, and they were falling out. I said, God, you're showing off here now, and he sat up in the seat like, and he said, that's my little brother. After the meeting was over, he started crying. I'd never seen my brother cry because we didn't grow up with our father. He said, I don't even know who you are. He said, all these years, this is what you've been doing? I said, yeah, I've been doing it. He said, you go around the world doing it? I said, yeah. He said, I don't even know. He said, I'm ashamed of myself. He said, I'm ashamed of myself. He said, you're so powerful. He said, the rest of the family don't even know you. I said, well, you know, every man makes their choice. I was gracious to him. But my point is this, he got saved right after that. And he said, my assignment now is to get everybody else saved. My point is, I got 2 minutes left. My point is this. I look at my brothers, and I'm the fourth son. So I always think in the patriarchal concept of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, okay, the fourth dimension blessing. And I always think about that, and I said, he didn't want God, he didn't want God, he didn't want him, and yet it all came to me. So I learned this principle. I preach it to encourage people that whatever they don't want, it still falls to the one that wants it. He said, I'm going to give it all to you. They didn't want it. I'm going to give it all to you. Amen? And so I take that. And what I'm talking about now is the fact that when people do not understand that there's a transgenerational blessing that can come, then God has to do something. Here's my crux of the message. Then God has to do something. So when we take these orphans, and that's why God says, I will not, Jesus said, I will come to you and I will not leave you as orphans. America is filled with an orphan spirit right now. And even in political arenas, even in business arenas, it's a spirit, it's a mindset. Doesn't mean that they don't have fathers. It's just a mindset that they're disconnected from a patriarchal anointing, that someone was above them, ahead of them. And it's killing the nation. That's why there's so much insecurity, anger, and fear and mistrust in society. That's a Pentecostal sign for me just to wrap it up. I know. Amen. Go ahead, hit the keys, bro. But anyway, I'm going to give it to you. So when God has a person that has no help to get from level A to where they're supposed to be, he does something. And this is what he revealed to me. He said he catapults them. I'll preach the rest of it because I don't have time. But he catapults it. And I'll just give it to you in its most simplistic form. That means he takes you and he picks you up. And at this age, let's say in 2018, in his divine original plan and purpose, you and I were supposed to be here in our lives. But we're back here. He says, I know what to do. I'm going to come and I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to carry you to where you should be. I'm going to catapult you. Oh, man. Are you hearing me? I want you to tell someone next to you, God is going to catapult your life in this next 15 months. Amen. I'll go into a little more next time, but I had to give you a little background. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are today, our King, our Savior, our hero, our God, our deliverer, our redeemer, our strength. You're everything to us, Lord, and we understand clearly that without you, we can do absolutely nothing. And Lord, we depend totally upon your grace today. We thank you for your people that are here today. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord, for your grace that comes to lift us and elevate us and move us to the place in which we're supposed to be. We thank you that you care that much, and we love you, Lord. And so I just thank you right now in Jesus' name. I just wanted to know right now, if you're here today and you are in a place where you feel stuck, stagnant, staggered, haggard, whatever you want, and you've just been in a particular place and a particular level for a long season, and you're believing God to move you forward because we need that wind, that push behind us to get us to where he calls to be. I'm just going to ask that you just lift your hand today and say, that's me. That's me. I want more. I want to find the assignment. I want to walk in that assignment. I believe it. Amen. All over the building. Let me just pray for you real quick. Father, I thank you for each hand that is up today. And Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would move your people, Lord, to the places in which you've called them to function in, to the places that you want them to see, to the places that they will be able to administer, move, operate, do ministry in their place of original destination, Father. We pray that you cause all of those that may be lagging behind, that you would accelerate their passion for you, that you would accelerate the spirit of revelation in their life, that you would accelerate, Lord, the love in their life, that they wouldn't feel left behind or forgotten about, but they would feel whole, that you would patch up all the empty places and the wounds and begin to heal your people from the inside out. We thank you for that they would be able to stand in the place of God. Like Jacob says, this is the house of God. And so, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Be blessed today. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. For you really don't realize, says God, that you are singing before my throne this day. And now I roll back the curtain, and I am the one that sits in the audience. I'm the one that sits listening and seeing your praise. And we have been invited even into the atmosphere of the heavenly, says the Lord. And I now have come even to bless this house, and miracles are taking place even in this room in people's bodies right now. Healings are manifesting right now, and deliverances, things are being shaken off and changed in your lives because you have entered the glory realm, says the Lord. For you didn't hold anything back from me, and you began to open up your hearts to me. And did not I say that I would inhabit the praises of all of my people, and I would be enthroned in the midst of them? So know this day, that I am in the midst of you in a special way. And there is an open heaven stretched out over this place and over this region, because you have pierced through even the levels of the Spirit. And now the enemy is shaking and trembling, and he's been pushed back for miles and miles away from here because he cannot stand the sound of your praise, says the Lord. He cannot stand the sound of my presence. It reminds him of his defeat over and over. For the last thing, says God, that he wants to hear is a people that know who they are, and a people that make a joyful sound, and the people that know that the finished work of Christ has done it all, that the redemption of the Savior has paid for the sins of all mankind. He does not want to hear a people praise him because of that, says the Lord. And now he does not want to hear these final words: it is finished. And so as you begin to shout and you begin to rejoice, knowing that I have taken care of everything for you, know this, that the enemy is running way away with a big headache this day, saying, please stop it, I can't stand the noise. But it's the noise of the tabernacle, says the Lord. It's the noise of in the vessels in the house, says God, that begins to cause the clouds to form, and droplets of rain begin to fall upon each man individually. And so I say to you today that this is a day where the glory of God is in your midst today in a special way. So give up a shout, says the Lord. Shout with the voice of triumph. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now, are you going to give up a better shout than that? Before you're seated today, just give three people a nice, what we call a touch high five. Just gently touch the fingers, yeah. I don't want anybody to get knocked out in here today. Amen. God bless you. Come back to earth. It is crazy in here. I love it. A lot of people, you know, they won't let it go. And God, one of the things that the enemy cannot stand, the number one thing he can't stand, is the presence of God and the name of Jesus. Both things remind him of absolute defeat. And the more we continue to release that in the atmosphere, it paralyzes the plans and principles of the demonic realm. And it really, really does. Amen. I get high like that. I used to be a worship leader, so I get into it and I got to come back down so I can preach a little bit. As usually from that place, we used to go into prophesying all day for 2 hours. You know, I did have something to say. This is a great man here. This man here. And I was thinking about you this morning when I got up. You, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know anybody's names here. Chris, amen. Chris, yes, that's you. The Lord told me this morning, and this may sound weird, but I was putting on my socks. He said, you're a great man. And the Lord said to tell you today that, could you just stand up, sir? Amen, I knew. Amen. The Lord says, I've given you tremendous favor with relationship and ability to connect with people, a strong ability to connect with people. And the Lord says in the days to come that there's going to be so many more people drawn to the kingdom of God through the grace that's on your life. The Lord told me to tell you today that he has been pleased with your heart. With your heart. For you, the Lord says you don't do things for the accolades of men. You don't do things to be seen of men. You do things from your heart as unto the Lord. For when I found you, says the Lord, you were a broken man. And the Lord says, son, I rescued you many years ago. And I brought you out of a situation that was traumatic. And I brought you out of a situation that many would not be able to return from and escape from and bring into the kingdom of God the way you've come in. And you've been you've been raised up and you've been lifted up and you've been a force of revival in the body of Christ. And the Lord says, son, I'm going to cause even there to be fresh stripes and fresh bars even upon your rank in the spirit, says the Lord. And your words are going to penetrate the realms of the dark places because you're going to speak. And there's a new anointing on you. And I'm going to just give you this. I feel that you're a strong businessman and you have these gifts and you're a strong businessman. You know how to get things done. But the Lord says also there's a strong prophetic anointing that's going to come upon you to prophesy. And you're going to be a part of a lot of presbyteries. You're going to speak. And you don't. The Lord says, don't hold yourself back anymore. Dig in because you got it. And I'm going to put my hands on you. And it's done right now in Jesus' name. It's Jesus' name. It's done right now. So begin to prophesy, son, and begin to declare the word of the Lord. And the Lord told me to tell this house today that there's a new level of the prophetic coming to this house. There's a new level of the prophetic ministry, and he's lifting the whole house. Young people are going to begin to see in the spirit. There's going to be a lot of visions and a lot of dreams. It's not going to be quacky and crazy where it's uncontrollable or fanatical or anything like that. It's going to be the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the prophetic mantle is going to rest on this house in a strong, strong way. I don't know what you have in terms of development and teams of training for the prophetic, but God says it's going to multiply and multiply. Listen to me. It's going to multiply. And God says also to tell you that people are going to come from different streams and different places, even in the region, to this place for the prophetic to learn, to be trained, to be developed, because the anointing of God is in the house. Give God some praise real quick. It's tough to preach in these environments. You make it difficult. I'd rather go to a dead church. I could preach all day. Whoa. Your son. What's Jason? Jordan. I need you to stand, my friend. Jordan. Jordan in the deep. Like the hip-hop guys go, Jordan in the deep. Yeah. Okay. I'm still in the spirit, though. I just laugh at myself. The Lord says, son, you're going to write many books in your time. And you're going to be a man that's a broker, says the Lord, a deal maker. You're going to be a bridge builder also. The Lord says, I put a mantle on you to bring the generations together. I'm giving you the keen eyes of a seer, says God. And you're going to be able to be a man that sees through the disguises and the deceptions of the devil in people's lives and even in generations. You have a keen ear and you're going to be a great listener. And you'll sit at places and you won't say much, but you'll hear and you'll hear and you'll hear. And you'll hear my voice, says the Lord, in clarity. And you'll hear even the voice of the enemy when he's trying to weave a web of destruction for different people at different times in their lives. For I've called you to be a man that breaks through the cylinders, that breaks through the forces of resistance, that breaks through even the barriers that men have set up, racial barriers, ethnic barriers, says the Lord, even gender barriers. The Lord says you're going to break through all of them, and you're going to begin to rescue people in these particular areas, and you're going to be known as a bridge builder that brings the body of Christ together, and the nations will be on your shoulder also as they will be on your father, and this grace will be on you, and you're going to be a communicator of the gospel that is par excellence, says the Spirit of the Lord, and you're going to be able to reach people, the old, the young, the black, the white, the red, the brown, all different communities. You're going to be my man, says the Lord, but you're going to also also write. And you're going to write material, and you're going to write different things. You're going to put it out on the internet, and it's going to turn people. I'm going to give you a supernatural wisdom, a wisdom. You're going to be known as a man of wisdom, a man that sits back and thinks it out, that thinks it out clearly and strategically, analytically thinks it out, but it'll be the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be dead strategy. It's not going to be dead analyzing. It's going to be spiritual insight. And God says, I touch your mind today, and I touch your heart today. I would want you to do one thing, right in your chair, if you could just step out past the guy whose legs are shaking. Just do one thing, Jordan. Just go like this, just like I just did. That's it. It's done. Man, oh man, oh man. Hallelujah. I'm fighting the devil up here. I'm boxing. This is my boxing pose in the spirit. He's swinging. I'm just, bam, you know, bobbing weave. I don't know who you are, young fella, but you're standing out. You're bigger than everybody in the crowd today. Yeah, you just turned your head the other way. You're saying, who, me, you? You just did it. Stand up, t-shirt. Yeah. You knew it was you the whole time. I don't know who you are, don't know where you're from, but I just heard the Lord say, tell this man he has a special calling. Oh, yeah, I see it. I just saw your mouth as a bullhorn. It just turned into a bullhorn. And God says, I'm going to use your mouth to be used as a vessel and a clarion call to call many people to salvation. I see people in high schools turning to Jesus. I see people in college arenas turning to Jesus. And the Lord says, you're going to travel the nations when you, in about 10 years from now, you're going to travel the nations. And even though you have, because I can hear this right now, even though you have different thoughts about how your life will go, and I hear the technological element that's riding on you and the engineering element that's riding on you, you're thinking about doing all these wonderful things. God says, yes, you will complete that. You'll complete that natural assignment. But when I call, you will answer, and you will do what I call you to do, and you'll be known as a man that turns the lives of many people around in this generation, says the Lord your God. Let me go for it. Just stand back up, my friend. Yeah, I'm not trying to embarrass you. But, right, one, two, three. There's been three women that have been praying for you. I see a grandmother, a mom, and an aunt that have been interceding for you since you came out of the womb. That you would be a person that does the will of God. And these prayers have surrounded you like a vapor that goes up, and they're all around you. And God says, there's no way you're going to miss the call of God. Because intercession is your coat that you wear. And God says, this day, I'm hearing the prayers and I'm releasing the results into your heart to do the will of God. Get ready, because this man's going to win a lot of people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. I got to preach a message here, don't I? Yeah, Lord. Businessmen and women, would you stand today? You own your own businesses. Just stand. I just want to pray a prayer over you right now. There's a release. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. There's a release upon this house for fresh level of finances. Many of your businesses have been stagnant. They've been stuck in a rut. Supernatural answers are going to come to you. Hear this word, supernatural releases. Some of you, you've gotten to some sticky situations because of your own decisions, and you want to get out. And God says, I'm going to make a way out of no way for you to be released from some of the deals that you have pending on the table. But others, I'm going to cause even these things to turn in your favor. And there's going to be many, many, many people calling for you for what you do. I'm going to increase the sales. I'm going to increase the business. I'm going to increase the revenue, says the Lord. Watch what I do. The scripture says very clearly, believe in the Lord and you'll be established. Believe in his prophets and so shall you prosper. So I declare prosperity over you right now in the name of Jesus. Now, hallelujah. I don't know what this means, but I just hear the sound of 18-wheelers. If you got a business that deals with trucks, trucks delivery, I just hear that sound in my head right now. And God says to tell you, you won't be stuck in the mud anymore. This thing's about to roll. Amen? It's about to roll. And God wants you to believe, believe, and believe. Amen. Where's the young lady that was singing? Right here. Oh, God. I don't know what this means to you, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't know how many children you have, but you're going to have more. And I don't know what this means to you, but I saw God blessing your life, blessing your family. There's another place he wants you to move to. I hear the word house. It's another place he's going to bless you with, bigger, broader land, space for those kids. That means more than two. Yeah, you're going to have quite a bit. So be blessed. Now, that's one of my fortes. When I prophesy over people that have children, they always have them. So, sorry, you know. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Well, she's going somewhere. Brother, there he is, my man. You hiding from me this week. Come here, stand up, stand up, stand up. Oh, yeah, yeah. Come, come, come. I want you to come out. What are you hiding back there for, man? Come here, man. I don't know. The Lord also tells me that you two are going to be a preaching couple. And you know, I'm going to encourage you right now, because things have been tough for you lately, and God wants to get you some strength in here and some courage, that things are going to turn around in your favor. The enemy's really tried to work against you recently, and tried to bring you down, and tried to confuse you, and tried to rob you even of the joy of the Lord at times. But God says, today I turn it around. And everything, yep, okay. And everything that you've been experiencing is going to turn. It's going to turn. In 6 months, no, in 6 weeks, it's going to turn around. Not only that, the Lord says you've been praying for a loved one that's been sick, and God says, I'm going to heal them. It's going to, major healing is going to take place in your life. Don't be afraid, son. Don't be afraid. You're a blessed man. You're blessed, and you're going to prosper mightily, and you're going to preach the gospel. I don't know what this means. I'm going to go as far as I can go with this one, because you're going to have a lot of churches. You might as well just laugh with me, because one is, I see you guys like one day, not now, not now, not now, being like campus pastors over a whole nother work one day. But you're going to raise up a team of worshipers. You're going to raise up an army of worshipers here. An army of them. There's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different teams that you'll have, you'll raise up. And you'll be sitting there just looking at them, and then you won't even have to sing after a while. Even though people love your singing, you won't have to do it, because God's got his hand on your life in an unbelievable way. And you need to smile again. Even though the Yankees lost, you can still smile. You know you love that. Oh. Go ahead, give God some praise. I got to come back to earth. My God, Jesus. They're beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. This is what happens when you get in this kind of atmosphere. You built this atmosphere through your worship and intercession. Oh. There's levels that the intercessory flow of this house is getting ready to go to also. If you're in have that gift, you specifically have an intercessory gift, prayer wars, and things like that. I know the whole house prays is a house of prayer, but if you specifically know you have that gift, I'm going to ask that you stand real quick. You pray, you intercede, because there's the pockets. Amen. There it is. That's the secret weapon. Look at this. Yes, yes. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to have more visitations. Now, let me try to explain this as clearly as I can. The heavens are going to open, and we use that phrase many times, but you're going to find yourself walking into the heavenlies. It's almost like you're going to be physically right there, but you'll be in the spirit, and you're going to hear the voice of God. You're going to see different things in the spirit, and you're going to go into those places and then come back. Most of the lifting and the elevation of your prayer levels in this house will also have to deal with you hearing and seeing at a whole nother level than you've ever seen before. You're going to have visitations of the angelic hosts. You're going to pray prayers that stop accidents from happening. I'm seeing all this right now. The enemy will have assigned death certificates to people in the morning, and your prayers will stop them in the afternoon. And the angels will appear to you, and you'll send them, go to that street. It's going to be that specific what's about to happen. You're going to tell them to go to a particular street, and it will be there where that accident will happen. And God's going to elevate the intercessory grace to pray for the lost, to pray for the sick, to pray for those that do not know Christ. And you're going to see things happen because you're in the place of God. For the Lord says, I made this house a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. 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 My. Sometimes you just get filled up, you know. Amen. I said I was going to bring this message to you, so I will. In the first segment today, I began to deal with the assignment of God. And I'll read the scripture just to start out and kind of try to jumpstart us to get us to part two. But in Isaiah 14, in verse 24, the scripture says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. This is the purpose, verse 26, that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? And I began to give just a couple of principles concerning assignment. And I'll just say them in this meeting, but I won't elaborate on them. Number one, your assignment is proof. Your assignment is proof that God has planned for you to succeed, that everyone here has an assignment. And the proof that he's planned for you to succeed is because you have an assignment. Number two, the assignment is proof that God has preserved you in order to preserve his purpose in you. God has kept each one of us through dangerous elements and different times so he could preserve his purpose within us. That's why he keeps you going. That's why he protects you. That's why he blesses you. Because he's got, I like to say it this way, he's got an investment in you. And so he's protecting his investment within each of us so that we can fulfill it and be able to fulfill the full purpose of God. Number three, if God could have found a replacement for your assignment, he would have never given it to you. If there was a a replacement for you, he would have never given you the assignment. That means this, that each one of us in particular are so special. So special. He definitively looks at us and says, you are so, so special to the overall plan that I have. Can we have some fun with that? Because I know you're going to laugh. Could you say to somebody today, you are so, do your hands like me, you are so, so special. That means a lot, man. Amen. And because you're so special, God works. I learned this, that he's working. The scripture says all things work together for good to those who are called. Okay, called. He's working, he uses every attribute that he has to keep you and I alive to fulfill his purpose. And that's heavy stuff. Don't have time to go into it. But Moses' ministry began at 80 years old. Moses had a full deal before he hit 79. He had killed somebody. He had a bunch of stuff go on, but God kept him all of that time. Why? Because what he had put in him was to change, not only change a nation, one nation, but to build another. And there's more in you and I than we would ever, ever dream. More in you and I. And so I was saying this morning that because everyone has an assignment, the enemy tries to hinder us from going and fulfilling that assignment. So the title is Your Future is Waiting. I like to say it with a British accent. Your future is waiting. Amen. When I was mentioning earlier that there's things that hinder us from going into the future. Number one, there's fear. Fear, the Bible says, has torment. Fear will hinder you from a lot of things if you're afraid. If you're afraid. Any ladies here that used to jump rope? And is that, do people still do that? Okay. You know, I get away with this jerk in some circles where they used to jump the rope. I had three sisters, and they would turn you. Anybody remember that? What was it called? Okay, everybody in America remembers. Good old double dutch. And my sisters used to stand there, and they'd go like this, and they'd chew gum. And the ropes would go up, and you'd have to stand there, and you'd have to go like this and see if you could jump in. And once somebody would jump in, they'd start doing all this kind of stuff. And I said, how do they do that, you know? But a lot of times in life, the ropes are turning and we're standing there constantly looking at the opportunities, but we never jump in because of fear. And God doesn't want you to have a fear at all. Number two, shame hinders us. It says in Psalm 44:15, my dishonor continually is before me and the shame of my face has covered me. The devil uses shame to rob us of everything. You've messed up, if you've done something wrong, he will shame you to no end, okay? Number three, jealousy can cause you to be robbed of your future. Song of Solomon 8:6 says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Insecurity will rob you. Not being secure within yourself will rob you. Anger can rob you. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Rejection can rob you if you don't deal with rejection right. I used to be in sales years ago, and I used to design security or access control systems. When I say security system, people think Pinkertons and alarms and ADT. They were a part of the project, so I have to put together the entire project, which would mean the alarm system, which would be ADT, Johnson Controls for the HVAC, the cameras, which back then it was RCA, Burl, Panasonic. We used to put all that in it, the thing, the gates that lift for the visitors to come in. Everything had to be in a project. And I remember very clearly that when we would go do demonstrations in the World Trade Center back then, because I'm from the East, and I remember being in Port Authority up on the 92nd floor, and ADT was on 93. Port Authority's offices were on 92, somewhere like that. And I'd do demonstrations. And I remember back in the day doing demonstrations for what they have now, and that was shutter speed cameras to catch people's running red lights. And it was mechanical back then, but I remember doing demonstrations. And you would go into places and, you know, I would sell over the phone and I'd set up the appointment. You had to make calls, cold calls, they called it, make a bunch of cold calls. Then you set up 12 appointments out of 50 calls. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then you would have to, out of that, maybe get three deals or something like that. That was the process over and over and over. And I got used to the word no. And for it, statistically, it was 18 no's before you get one yes. So I learned how to deal with rejection and just let rejection roll right off of you. Because I was coming back the next day. But there's a lot of people that don't know how to deal with rejection. Rejection to some people is a stop sign, a stoplight. They rejected me. I'm no good. And you just go back like this and it's over. Now God says, you know, rejection is something that actually can be used as a projection. Okay, I'll get there in a second. Neglect is very important. Okay, that's a thing that hinders us from going into the future. Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16 says, can a woman forget her nursing child? And God says, and have not compassion on the son of her womb. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So all these things, we have an assignment, and then there's hindering forces that try to stop us. Revelations 4:1, what changes this is we have to be elevated. Everybody say, I need to be elevated. I can see things from a different perspective. I have to get up to a height to see different things. Isn't it funny? And we are on airplanes quite a bit. Isn't it funny? It could be, we've had the rainiest season in the world in 2018 in the East Coast. It rains all the time. It's like, what happened to the sun? What happened to the summer? Cold weather, bad weather. And yet, I can get on an airplane, leave Kennedy Airport, and once I go above the clouds, the sun's out. So God has to elevate us to see things from a different perspective. So in Revelations 4:1, it says, after these things, after all these things that try to hinder us, fear, shame, jealousy, insecurity, anger, rejection, neglect, after all this, okay, I looked and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here, and I must show you the things which must come hereafter, okay? Now, I always tell the same stories. I remember we were going to buy a building when we first started our church many, many years ago. And we went, what are you going to buy? We were going to rent it. Nice little building, had about 60 folks. And we were going to rent this building. And I was excited. And the owner had connections with the mayor. And the mayor had connections with the top lawyer in the town. And they said, go to this one and go to that. And we could work the deal. And I was really excited. And I went to all the places. And they said, we can do this kind of a deal for you, Reverend. We can make it happen. Amen. And so I got home that Friday and went to bed and woke up Saturday morning. And I sat on the side of the bed, and I never will forget this. I sat on the side of the bed, and my little legs were dangling off the bed like a little kid. And I was praying, and all of a sudden, it felt like I was taken into heaven. It felt like something like, and I was in heaven, and I heard a voice say to me, don't buy that building. You will regret it for years if you buy that building. Don't do it. I know it looks good, but it's not of me. And I came back, and I woke up. I said, don't buy the building. I said, everything looked right. And he showed me that he can bring us to elevation and show us from a different perspective. Amen? So I learned a wonderful lesson. You see, God wants to bring us from mediocrity to excellence. He wants to bring us from shame to dignity. He wants to bring us from grief to greatness and from the past into a prosperous future. See, your future is waiting for you. Amen. So what is the future? It's a time that is to be or to come hereafter. It's something that will exist or happen in time to come. It's a condition, especially of success or failure or whatever it might be, but it's coming. It's ahead of you. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, it says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. One of the biggest things that hinders people in society at large is most people do not think that they have a future. They live day by day, like the old Broadway song, day by day. Remember that song? Oh, dear Lord, these things I pray. And they don't see far. People that are successful see way ahead. Those that plan for 5, 10 years, 15 years out, they're the ones that can see up ahead. And those are the ones that accomplish great things many times. See, God is brilliant. He's the ultimate genius, triple genius, quadruple genius, because he sees so far ahead that he saw you and I in 2018 when he said, let there be light. Or even before that, he has seen you before you existed. You see, the future consists of this. Of dreams, hopes, challenges, obstacles, victories, and all different types of things. John 16:13 says it this way. It says that howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth, for he will not speak with his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit can tell you what's in your future. That's the whole nature of prophecy. The prophetic word can tell you what's up ahead. Amen? And it's so real. It's just amazing. But there are times when people get stuck in those traps of what I was talking about, fear, insecurity, anger. They get stuck there. Bitterness, unforgiveness, those are killers. I didn't put those in the lineup, but they're in the batting order. Because bitterness and unforgiveness are like chains that will hold a person in bondage for years. You remember the old Western group, the old Western family, the two classic, oh, man, and the West, too, that's good. The Hatfields and McCoys. Y'all should know about that. I'm out West now, that's right. Amen. And they fought for years over something that was silly. They couldn't get free. And this is what happens to people a lot of times when they can't forgive people, when they can't release things, when they can't let things go, they get stuck. And that thing which they think is right or righteous becomes a yoke of bondage for them that hinders them from going forward. Mm-hmm. Not a message on that today, okay? But when this happens, when fear takes hold of someone or insecurity, you never feel confident, you don't feel like a son of God after you messed up. You feel like a bum. You feel rejected, neglected. You feel fearful, okay? What happens sometimes, you feel abandoned. What happens sometimes is God says, you know what? I've got the answer. He says, you're struggling. You've been at this level for so long. You can't get out. So I've got to come, and I'm going to do something for you. And I love this. I love this. I love this. He says, I'm coming to catapult you. Mm-hmm. I love that. Now, I don't know about you, but I like movies. One of my favorite actors is the great Russell Crowe. Russell usually plays the roles of a man's man. And Russell was in The Cinderella Man. How many of you ever seen that movie? A classic, a masterpiece, amen? Right there in Bayonne, New Jersey. And he plays that boxer that was there. And Russell was in L.A. Confidential way, way back. And Russell was in my favorite movie, Gladiator. Can I get an amen for Gladiator? My name is Marcus Aurelius. Father of it, you know, he runs that line. I'm like, oh, it's time to fight, man. I love it. Yeah. And so he goes on. But when you see the beginning of that movie, it's a battle. The Romans are fighting the barbarians or something in the woods. And you see them fighting and they're fighting and he's on a horse the whole bit. But there's this thing, this mechanism that the Romans have with them. It's a machine. And you see guys roll it into the battle. And it's a machine. They start putting rocks in it and oil on these rocks and fire on these rocks. Excuse me. Excuse me. And they put all this. Excuse me. And they put all of this on top of it. And it has like a cup in it. And they're cranking this thing. And they're turning it like this. And as they begin to crank it, it begins to lift up like this. Right in the beginning of the movie, it's a metal iron thing. And it goes all the way back. And it throws these rocks. And it hits the enemy. Starts the fires, knocks people out. The big boulders are in there. God told me to tell you today, he's about to catapult you. No. Okay. Now what that means, it means this. It means it's an ancient military device for hurling missiles. It's a device for launching an airplane at a particular speed. An airplane is catapulted. It means to launch, to throw, to cast, to sling. It means all these different things. In the thesaurus, it means this, to send through the air, especially with a quick forward motion, to place or to send suddenly. It means to shoot. A catapult will shoot at a particular range. You see, in the scriptures, there are many people that are in the scriptures that are stuck in particular places, that cannot get themselves from A to B, to A to C, and they've been stuck there sometimes for years, sometimes for generations. And God has to come and help people, and this is what he does. In the scriptures, you see one man in the book of John, he's there, and listen to this language. In John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, there was a particular place, and in this place, it says, there were five porches, and in this place lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. An angel went down at a certain time to the pool and stirred the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made whole? Woo! Do you want to be made whole? The sick man answered, sir, listen to it, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I start to make motion towards the pool, someone else comes and steps in before me. You see, his problem was that he was waiting for a man to do it. One of the reasons why we don't get to where we need to get to in God, we're waiting for somebody else to get us there. But the somebody else didn't give you and I the assignment. God gave you the assignment. God called you. God anointed you for a particular task, and it's He that we have to wait for. It says, and while He's on His way, sometimes we move too slow. Sometimes we move too slow. God says, I want you to do this, and we take, He says, I want you to do this Friday, but we take two Fridays to get it done. And so what He says, okay, I'm going to help you. He said, I only want to know one thing. He said, spare me the details, buddy. Do you want to be made whole? Let's get to it. Let's get to it. And what does He do? Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He said, you don't even need to go to the pool. He said, when I show up, forget the pool. I'm the reservoir. Are you hearing it? Somebody say to somebody, catapult. Another lady is in Scripture, and I don't have a chance to read them all, but another lady is in Scripture in 2 Kings 4 and verse 1, 2 Kings 4, and we find that she's in debt, and she's a wife of one of the prophets, and she's in debt, and the creditor is coming to take her two sons to be slaves. Elisha says to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. He says, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather a few. And when you have come in and you shut the door behind you and your sons, pour into all the vessels and set aside the full one. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. She poured out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said, there's not any more vessels, Mom. So the oil ceased. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay off your debt. She was catapulted financially. God's about to do that here with some of you. Amen. He's about to catapult you financially. Let me just get to the main one I wanted to touch real quick, and I'll be done. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 23, this man is a classic element here, because this is us. Up against the devil, there's a giant that comes. There's this enemy. It says in verse 23, then as he talked with them, David was talking with his brothers, there came the champion, the Philistine of Gath. Verse 24, Goliath by name, coming from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail. Because of him, your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Okay? That's verse 32 I was just reading from. But David didn't have any weapons. The Bible says that he went to Saul to tell him that he was going to fight this giant. And Saul said, son, how are you going to fight a giant? You're not a man of war. I'm a man of war. He said, look, take my armor. Take what I can give you. Put my armor on and take this, and then maybe you'll go and fight him. David said, I can't wear your armor. My method of warfare is different. He said, I can't use it. He said, well, how are you going to win this battle? He said, well, why do you think you're going to win this? He said, well, when I was back at my daddy's house, a lion came after one of the sheep, and I killed him. He said, then another day a bear came and I killed him also. He said, and this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to kill him also. But how did he do it? The Bible says that he said, I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to get five smooth stones out of a brook and I'm going to pick them up and I'm going to put them in the shepherd's bag and I'm going to put them in a sling. And these guys were able to hit something 200 or 300 feet away, okay? Now, let me just give you the principle of this without screaming and acting crazy. My point is this. He had a sling. When David wanted to understand his future, he was with Jonathan in the Scriptures. And he told Jonathan the day when David did not show up for the meal at Saul's house, Jonathan said, my father wants to kill you. He said, I'll tell you what, meet me tomorrow in the field. He said, and if your father, it's good to come back. He said, get a young lad and shoot the arrow short. He said, but if not, he said, shoot it very far. Okay? He said, now I'll know to keep going. David understood the principle of catapulting better than anybody. I don't have time because it's a whole opening of this deal. But if you think about this, he's getting ready to kill Goliath or fight him or take him out. But both weapons, I'm using two weapons. One, David understood the principle of catapulting through a bow and arrow. He understood the principle of catapulting when he would bring the sling back and he would swing it. Okay? The principle is this. A lot of people say in this culture that we live in, I've been through a lot of hard times. I've been through bad situations. You don't understand the pressure and the anxiety that's on me right now. If this doesn't come through, I don't know what I'm going to do. When you're in a catapult situation, the pressure and the tension work in your favor. Or I'll put it this way. The further you're pushed back. Oh, I like that. Came right at the right time. That's the 2-minute warning. The further you're pushed back, the kids aren't acting right. You got laid off. They didn't give you the raise, the promotion. You can't get in the school you want. This happened, that happened. Tension. The further you're pushed back, the crank is going back. The arm of this thing's going back more and more and more. It's pushing you back. It's the tension in the bow that creates its ability to shoot the arrow the farthest. You got it. It's the wind in the sling. That the more he keeps swinging it and swinging it, it produces a velocity that is increasing more and more. And the weight of that rock inside of that sack begins to produce something. The further the enemy tries to push you back, he's actually signing his own destruction. Because the more the enemy pushes you back, the further when you come up, you're going to come up that much stronger and that much faster. Because you're the arrows in the hand of the Lord. Oh, yeah, you got it. God's about to catapult this house. Oh, yeah. See, it's a sling and a stone. Let me give this to you. I got 30 seconds left. There may be obstacles, giants, resistance in your way. But remember, the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the resistance, the more it produces the tension. The farther I'm going to be catapulted when I'm released. The greater the tension, the stronger the release. You say, I can't get it right. My marriage is full of tension. We can't get along. The tension. When you make up, it's that much better. That's right. That's right. Well, my finances are in tension right now. I can't shake anything loose. When it finally is shaken loose, it's 10 times better. Final principle. God. Catapult means this. If you're here, you've been given an assignment. He says, I'm going to pick you up. I'll use two examples. He's going to pick you up and carry you. You ever see in a grocery store or a supermarket that precious baby that's always crying? That just won't stop. And you see the mother over here looking at something to buy, and the baby is standing back there, and he's like, come on, honey. You know, come on. Come on, buddy. Come on. And they're just back there crying. Eventually, that mom, that dad does what? He says, okay, you don't want to listen? Let's go. And they're kicking, and they carry him right to where they should be. God told me to tell you, he's about to lift this house up and bring you to exactly where you should be in October in 2018. All your families, all your children, all your financial conditions, he's catapulting this house. Amen and amen. Your future is waiting for you.
Wow, 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 wow. Let's thank God for Pastor Eric Butler. Come on, let's thank God for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending him. We needed this word. We needed this time. What a weekend. It's not very often that I would be speechless. But I'm speechless. I love you, Eric. Thank you. Be seated just for a minute. And we're gonna close with some worship. I just want to exhort. I feel like if we would just set ourselves and make a decision like this, something like this, I cannot go back to what it was. Today was a changing point. This weekend was a changing point. And if we're not careful, we could slide back to old attitudes, slide back to old thoughts, and it would just be just a really nice weekend. But if we lock into and believe what God is saying, and really just amen it and say, Lord, I give you a blank check in my life. You can do anything you want in my life starting right now. I believe if we would do that, God would take us all the way forward. I don't want one person to go back to the way it was before today. I want to take all of you with me into what God is going to do. How many want to go? How many want to go? Let's move forward as never before. I know there's pain. I know there's hurt. I know there's issues. I know you have questions. I know you're thinking, but what about this and what about that? Just allow God. Give God a blank check in your life. And just say, Lord, whatever you want to do, you can throw me ahead 3 miles from your catapult. If you give God permission, it's amazing what he'll do. All of you that receive prophetic ministry, just agree with it. Just say, I don't even understand it, but I say yes. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to worship for just a moment. We're going to allow you to bring your tithes and offerings. And if God is touching your heart, if God is putting it in your heart to do something to bless Eric, I think you should do it. We're going to bless him and send him home. It's not like he doesn't have somewhere else to be today. He's got a family. He's from New Jersey. He's not from San Jose. He's got a beautiful church that loves him. But he's here, so we want to bless him and say thank you and sow into his ministry. And Kathy and I want to give and give you the opportunity to give. We're going to sing for a few minutes as the ushers serve you. Thank you for your generosity. And let's worship while I figure out what else to say because I'm speechless. All right. Bless you.
We say yes, Lord. Let's just say that together. Yes, Lord. You might not understand everything, but we say yes. We trust you, God. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Come on, reach out. All I want is all I want.
Lord is in this place. I did think of one thing I want to say. I wanted to say thank you. Thank you to the worship team. Thank you to the servers. Thank you to the ushers. Thank you to the greeters. Thank you to the food people. This last weekend was a blowout. And Team Gateway, you guys, I mean, you rocked this conference. You cannot believe the impact that you had. I'm talking to pastors. They're texting me, our campus pastors, pastors that were visiting from Mexico, San Diego, from all over Northern California. They came, and their lives will never be the same because of what you guys did and this time that God had for us. Eric, you were a part of that, a huge part of it. Pastor Frank DeMond. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being the greatest team ever I love each and every one of you. Would you just lift your hands? I want to bless you. Father, thank you for what we've heard and what we've received. Our hearts are full. And Lord, I want to speak over your people today that they will never be the same again. They'll never go back to what it was. They will only move forward, Lord, through that catapult that we heard about. Let it be our story in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You see my friends up here? This is our prayer team. They'll pray with you if you need healing prayer, if you need encouragement, if you just need to check in with someone. That's what they're here for. God bless you. You're dismissed. Moms and dads, don't forget your children. They're waiting for you. Your light is going off and they're saying, Mama, Mama.
What?
And they're eating Oreo cookies. So you need to get them fast.